Good morning. We're delighted to be here with you. Just this week, I was asking the Lord, I'd like to do some preaching again. It's been a little while. We were laid aside for a few months with some health issues. But thankfully, that day, the phone rang and I got two preaching opportunities. Wow, for me, that's exciting. It's always great to be in the pulpit and to be back here today. While you're turning to Psalm 107, verses 27 through 30, I would like to just say we have had contacts with Highland for many years, but my wife's contacts have been even longer. When she was a little girl, she was growing up at the Berlin Baptist Church. And at about age 11, she trusted Christ as her Savior. But that little church didn't have a baptistry. And so when she was baptized, she came to the Quarry Avenue Baptist Church. So you know now she's probably 100 or 101 years old. In Psalm 107, verses 27 through 28, let me read. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their diseases. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. There's a little phrase in verse 27, they are at their wits' end. Growing up, I don't know how many times I heard my mother say, I'm at my wits' end. My brother and sisters were such stinkers. For 16 years, when I served with the MARBC, I had a little sign on the door into my office that simply said, wits' end. Because it seemed like so many times that I was there. Now, being at wit's end is simply an expression of how you may feel when, in a sense, that you've lost it. Maybe you're frustrated, you're stressed beyond normal. It's possible that you could be there today. It can happen so quickly. It doesn't take long to put us at that little place that we call wit's end. When we look at the background of this psalm, it's interesting that it is a story of the deliverances of Israel. Now, Israel had their ups and downs. There were times that they walked with God, but there were so many times when they did not. And they found themselves at wit's end. Interestingly, Warren Wiersbe and John Phillips give a general outline, and I thought it was rather interesting, for we see that in verses 4 through 9, we have travelers who are lost in the desert, and they are at their wit's end. But God comes to them, and there's a little phrase at the end after they cried out. Verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to God or to the Lord for his goodness. They weren't a thankful people. And then in verses 10 through 16, they were prisoners who were locked in a dungeon. And again, when they cried out, God delivered them. But they did not give thanks and praise to God. verses 17 through 22, they were sufferers, as though they were dying on their deathbed. And they cried out to God, and he answered in his gracious and merciful way, but yet they did not give thanks. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. And then we picture Israel in verses 23 through 32 as sailors lashed upon in the deep. If you've had a bad experience on a cruise ship or even out on a small boat, you know what that's like. I don't do well on boats. I can get sick in the bathtub, really. I much rather would be on shore. I've been on a big boat a few times, but it did not go well. And yet they cried out to the Lord, and God answered them. God answered them. God is omniscient. We know that. We know that sometimes we're going to have days that aren't as good as others. God knows that also. And so he has given us an expression in the Bible to encourage us. God has made full provision in the Bible to encourage us. He's there for us. He has covered us. If we will just let him, when we feel like maybe we are at wit's end. This morning, because I know that your pastor is a gifted expositor of the Word as he takes you through books of the Bible, I would like to do a word study with you. When I was pastoring, I enjoyed, of course, expository preaching. I think that's the way God would have us teach our people. But I'd like us to do a word study this morning, thinking about that little phrase, being at wit's end. Paul in the New Testament at least four times, uses a Greek word which means in a tight corner, or as we might say, at wit's end. In the King James, the word is translated distress, and in other translations also, but in some translations, that particular Greek word is translated crushed, restrained, difficulties, or maybe straits. But each word gives us a valid picture of what it means to be at wit's end. It gives us the impression of narrowness of mind and distress rising from being hemmed in too closely. Maybe some of you are claustrophobic at times. There have been occasions when I have been that way. We get a claustrophobia for some reason or another, or sometimes we worry way too much. The Bible tells us be anxious for nothing. The word worry is not actually found in the King James. It comes from an Anglo-Saxon word which means means to choke. And don't you feel like that sometimes when you let yourself worry? That's kind of the way we're made, our old nature. I find it so many times. I go down that path and then I finally come to my senses and I realize that God doesn't want me to do that because there's nothing that I can do about it, but he can do everything. I want us to look at four New Testament passages and see how God always opens a way of escape when we feel like we might be living at wit's end. First of all, I want us to notice our partner in distress, and that person is Jesus Christ. We read 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11 earlier, but if you'd like to turn there, I would like to read it to you at two different times as I would visit with you about this particular point. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, That's the word we're addressing. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. In verse 8, the word crushed or distressed could literally be translated, not completely cornered. Now, when we're in such a place, we must remember that Jesus Christ is with us. He's our partner in distress. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. That's partnership. Jesus Christ is our partner. From that moment, we came to faith in Christ, which for me was 61 years ago yesterday. What a wonderful journey it has been. I've never forgotten him. I've many times wandered from that which I know is right, but all of these years he's been with me. I didn't understand when I began the Christian life, having been reared in a non-Christian home, the perks, the accesses that I had by being a believer. But the more I read the Word of God, the more I realized that I have a partner who will always be with me. Now, not only is Christ with us, but he's also interceding for us. You are aware of that from Romans 8, 34 and Hebrews 7, 25. He knows just how to get us out of that corner. Verses 10 and 11 simply imply that Christ made it from death to life, so he can do the same for us. And if he can get us from death to life, he certainly can get us out of any distressing circumstances that we might have, things that we don't understand. No matter how complex the circumstances or how persevering, how depressing, how discouraging, our partner is Christ, and he can pull us through. I don't mind having a partner like that. Now, if I can only remember that when for some reason I'm at wit's end. Secondly, I'd like to share with you that we have a prescription for being in distress from time to time. We not only have a partner in Christ, we have a prescription, and that prescription is his word. Let me read 2 Corinthians 6. We're not too far away from there. In your Bible, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience and tribulations and needs, in distresses, that's that word, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, sleeplessness, fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, that's an important statement there, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. We have all of these resources available to us, according to Paul, when we might be at wit's end. Oh, Paul was there so many times. But he was gifted also in trusting the Lord. Hard to believe what he had to go through. Sometimes it's difficult to believe what you may have to go through or what I have to go through. And it seems like there's never any relief. We always have something that's there that we're concerned about. But I want to highlight one thing in this text. That's our prescription for distress. And that's that little word we find in verse 7, by the word of truth. The word of truth. In the midst of a long list of hectic circumstances faced by Paul, that word once again shows up in verse 4, as I mentioned earlier, distresses. Literally, it means when in tight corners, when we are hemmed in by hard circumstances, when we are at wit's end. But when we find ourselves in such a place, our prescription for getting back on track is found in verses 6 and 7, particularly that little phrase, by the word of truth. The Word of God. Now, we all know what prescriptions are for. I'm into this high-tech world. I get texts whenever I have a prescription. Ding, 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 ding. Just seems like every other day, Myers Pharmacy is sending me a text that we have a prescription here for you. And we know what they're for. They're to help us to get better. They're to keep us well. And that's exactly what the Word of God does for us when we are at wit's end. The Word of God comes, and it makes us well again. It's a blessing. His Word is always our remedy for being at wit's end. And we must learn to depend upon the Word. I want to tell you the story of Margie. When I first met Margie, she had multiple sclerosis. I had the privilege of several summers being the pastor and Bible teacher at the Christian League for the Handicapped in Walworth, Wisconsin. Shepherd's Home, as you know, are for those that are mentally handicapped, but this is for a home for those that are physically handicapped. It's a residential home and a retreat center for those who have physical handicaps. It really takes the place of church for many. This is the only time, because some of them have such gross disfigurations and don't feel comfortable going out into the public, but they would look forward to this week or two in the summer when they could come and they could be with their peers and they enjoyed the Word of God and all the fun that others would have at what we might call camp week. But they were all adults. They were all adults. Margie was nearly through nursing school when she contracted MS, but she was saved as a result of her illness. She was about 25 when I first met her. And she was already confined to a wheelchair. Well, this particular week, they had skit night, which was a riot. But they also had talent night. And Margie wanted to sing her testimony at musical request night, but she had never sung publicly before. And so she asked me if I would sing with her, in case she stumbled with the words. Well, I was not a public singer either, but I was willing to do that because her speech was failing. It really was one of the most emotional moments of my life, for I was rather young at the time and had really known very few trials in my life. And the song that she wanted to sing was really very moving. So I bended knee next to her wheelchair with her stammering tongue and my quivering voice. This is what we sang, and if you know it, you can hum along or even sing it. It might make me more comfortable. I thank God for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I have learned to depend upon His Word. I have learned to depend upon His Word. Well, 2 years later, I returned once again to the Christian League for the handicap. I was anxious to see Margie once again, but she wasn't there. Her health had deteriorated so quickly that they had placed her in a nursing home in Milwaukee. I was able to get the phone number of where she was, and I called, but because of her advanced condition, she wasn't able to speak. But she could hear, she could comprehend, she could make noises in response to some of the things that I would say. And I introduced myself to Margie and I asked if she remembered our time together and singing that song. And she acknowledged that. And I said, are you still depending upon His Word? And she acknowledged that she was. You see, our prescription in times of distress is the Word of God. And that's why I give thanks for my Bible, the precious Word of God. It saves and keeps and satisfies along this path I trod. This book has been my companion all the times. It has encouraged me. It has comforted my heart and made me glad, and from sin has set me free. Of all the books that I have read, my Bible alone stands tall, though books I'll have until I die. My Bible excels them all. So I'll take my Bible where I go. It will be my constant guide. And when friends forsake me and life's hopes fail me, in this book I will confide. The Word of God, it's our prescription during those difficult times when we don't know where to turn. Thirdly, I would like to share with you our provision in distress, and that is grace. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul shares some very, very helpful information with us. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, and lest I should be exalted above all measure, by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. Doesn't that take you back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where our Lord 3 times prayed that the cup might be taken from him? In verse 9, Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, therefore most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and here's the word again, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In verse 10, Paul says, I take pleasure in distresses. I really don't mind, Paul said, being at wit's end. He'd been there so many times. But he said, I am there because I am doing it for Christ's sake. He was willingly content at being at wit's end. Christ had been there many times too and had survived, and so had Paul. Jesus, his Lord and Master, said something similar in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, here's a very important question for us at this point. The question is, why are you or why are we in such a particular situation? Why are we maybe at our wits' end at various times? Are we there because of our own self-centeredness, or are we there for Christ's sake? Sometimes we get there because we're out of God's will. The Christian life is an uphill struggle. We read about that in our devotions last evening. Just a simple verse. Christ went up to Jerusalem. 5 years ago, we had the privilege of going to the Holy Land. It had always been a dream, and God provided it for us. And it's true, to get to Jerusalem, you have to go up. But in those times that Jesus went up to Jerusalem, he had to go through much suffering and persecution and rejection, but he kept going because there was a purpose before him. He recognized that he was doing the will of God, and the will of God was for him to get to Jerusalem, where he would lay down his life for us. Paul was there for Christ's sake, and he found a provision to help in the time of need. And that provision was God's unlimited grace in verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. How many times have we grabbed hold of that verse when we were going through difficult times? Paul found that when he was weak, then he was really strong. For in his weakness or his inability to cope, he discovered God's grace and strength. God's grace was always sufficient for every situation. And God well knows that only when we are at our wits' end can he do what's best for us. Sometimes he's waiting for us just to quit being frustrated with ourselves and recognizing that we can't do anything in ourselves. I think had Annie Johnson Flint been around in Paul's day, he probably would have liked this song. Forgive me, I'm not going to sing it for you. He giveth more grace when the burdens are greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. So our provision in distress is his strength and grace. God sends trials, not to impair us, but to improve us. He doesn't take us into deep waters to drown us, but to develop us. When I had the privilege of pastoring in Hazel Park in the Detroit area, I've always been an avid Detroit Tiger fan. Growing up in Allegan, every boy's dream were going to be a Detroit Tiger. And the Detroit Lions. But now, they did not have good teams then, just as they don't have good teams now. And if it was not a sellout crowd, they would never televise the games. And so on Sunday afternoons, I would have to listen to them on the radio. But during that era, I had the wonderful privilege of speaking in chapel services for the Tigers and the Lions, and visiting teams. And Monty Clark was the coach at that time, and he was a professing believer in Jesus Christ. And so we were able to visit a few times. But toward the end of the season, they lost another game right at the end of the last quarter. I'm almost crying again. I felt so bad for him because it had been so long since they had won a game. And so I wrote him a note, and what I just quoted to you is what I had written to him. I said, God sends trials not to impair us, but to improve us. He doesn't take us into deep waters to drown us, but to develop us. And not too long later, I received a note from Coach, and he said, thank you, that came just in time. I was going through the firing squad of news broadcasters. And I just quoted that. You know, we have a provision, a wonderful provision, and that is the grace that God gives to us. Could be you're at wit's end. Maybe you have been this past week. Maybe you will be this week. The grace will always be there, and it's always going to be sufficient. A friend of mine says that grace is God's best idea. And I like that. It certainly gives the best coverage. Now, in Scripture, though we'll not take time to look at them, but there's a text for each one. There's saving grace, strengthening grace, sustaining grace, serving grace, standing grace. There's singing grace, speaking grace. There's grace for every type of situation that you might face in life. Yes, God giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. Well, let me share the last point. We notice, first of all, that our partner in distress is Jesus Christ, and our prescription is the Word of God, and our provision is His grace. And finally, our promise in distress is no separation. You're very familiar with the text in Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. For we find that this Greek word shows up once again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, there's the word, or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And Paul goes on to say, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, how can it get any better than that? We are so thankful that we have a promise, not just this promise, but numerous promises of our Lord being with us. There is and never will be any tight corner that will separate us from Christ. In all things, even distresses, as we saw listed here, being at wit's end, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Now, this is a promise you can take to the bank. In fact, you don't have to take it to the bank. It's already included and available with the grace that brings you to Christ Jesus. This promise means much to a person who might be dying of cancer, losing a job, burying a loved one. Just to know that I am His and He is mine. 1 Corinthians 2:9, for as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them to love Him. we need to learn to see the hand of God in affliction. Look at affliction from heaven's view rather than always our view. And we must keep a forward and an upward look. As the psalmist said, look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Well, standing at wit's end. If you haven't been there, my friend, you will. It's just one of those things that's going to happen. It's inevitable in this sinful world in which we live. And when you are, just please remember that you have a partner, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you have a prescription, the blessed Word of God. And you have a provision, it's grace. Grace, God's best idea that will always be there for us, and there will always be enough. You might think that you have used up all of God's grace, but that's not so. There will always be more. And then that wonderful promise that we will never, ever be separated from God. The poet has said it well. Are you standing at wit's end corner, standing with troubled brow? Are you thinking of what is before you and all you are bearing now? Does all the world seem against you? And you in the battle alone, remember, at wit's end corner is just where God's power is shown. Are you standing at wit's end corner, blinded with wearying pain, feeling you cannot endure it, you cannot bear the stain, bruised to the constant suffering, dizzy and dazed and dumb? Remember, at wit's end corner is just where Jesus loves to come. Are you standing at wit's end corner? Then you're just in the very spot to learn the wondrous resources of Him who faileth not. No doubt to a brighter pathway your footsteps will soon be moved, but only at wit's end corner is the God who is able proved. Let's pray.